my friends, and welcome to the Experience Our Industry podcast. I am Dr. Brian Greenwood, and I am super excited to be here today with Gabriella, Gabby Borges. How are you, Gabby?
I'm good. How are you, Dr. Greenwood?
Hi, I'm doing wonderful. It's so great to see you. It was really hard to catch up with Gabby because she is a super busy young woman as the operations coordinator for the California Travel Association. That's her current title. She's a 2019 graduate of our program and one that we are so Cal Poly proud of. She's made us proud out there in the industry and throughout her time at Cal Poly. So I'm really excited for our listeners to get to know you, Gabby.
Oh, well, you're too sweet. And thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be able to celebrate and share a little bit more about my journey.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So let's go back in time for the listeners. Tell us where you grew up.
Yes. So I was born and raised in a small town called Turlock, California. Lots of almond orchards.
Yeah.
Dairy cows, all the fun things.
Now, you didn't pronounce it right. It's almond. Isn't that almond country?
To each their own, right? Tomato, tomato.
Exactly. Exactly. I think you've probably heard me tell this story. Some listeners have heard me tell this story, but when Jerusha and I first got to Cal Poly, or very early on, we had a graduate student and he was like going on and on about how he came from Big Almond. And I was like, I had no idea what he was talking about. And I finally had to stop him. I was like, what is Big Almond? And he's like, oh, you probably know it as almond. And I was like, yes, I do know it as almond.
I love it. That's so yeah. Great.
So you've heard it both ways, of course, of course.
There's lots of jokes about it. That's for sure.
Are there? I'm sure there are. Tell us what life was like growing up there in Turlock. What did your parents do when you were growing up?
Yeah. So my mom is still a licensed marriage family therapist. Mm. And my dad worked in the food and nutrition industry, in sales and all that good stuff. So he actually worked for a spice company at one point, Foster Farms Dairy, kind of couple different spots.
Gotcha. Yeah. So big agricultural area, of course. And so that would absolutely make sense. What about brothers and sisters? Any siblings?
I have two younger brothers. Yeah. One is 24 now and the other is 19. So 24-year-old just graduated from Sac State.
Nice.
Last May and now has a job in sales. And nice. Baby brother is at CSU Long Beach, loving life, hoping to go into mechanical engineering. So
right on. So we got some CSU siblings there going there. I love it. That's awesome. Yeah. That is awesome. Well, tell us what life was like growing up there in Turlock. What did you get into? What was your jam?
Yeah, I would say that most time was spent with family. I come from a big Portuguese and Italian family. So yeah. Quality time was always top level, but I loved hanging out with my friends. We would go to the movies, go out and grab bites to eat, nice. Sleepovers, nice. You know, good small town fun, nothing too crazy.
Nice. Now, Portuguese, Italian. So I want to know your favorite dish. What's your favorite dish? I didn't prepare you for this. So I'm going to. I'm going to throw this out there because I know a lot about Italian food, but I'm not that familiar with Portuguese food. So was there a fusion type of cooking going on in the house
what's funny is my mom was obviously the primary cook in our household and she's Italian. So we had a lot of Italian food.
Okay.
My favorite, and it's one of our standing holiday traditions, is making homemade raviolis. We make our own gravy, both red sauce and pesto. So that's always really fun. Probably awesome. My favorite for that.
Yeah.
And Portuguese food. I would say rice pudding is my favorite. And that's actually a dessert item, not an entree. So
right. Yum, 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 yum. I love it. So this is the glory days segment. You ready to relive the glory days? What was your
let's go for it.
What was your your achievement that you're most proud of prior to coming to Cal Poly?
Most proud.
Yeah.
Gosh, that's a really hard one.
Yeah.
I feel like
it's your chance to brag, Gabby. You don't strike me.
I don't like bragging. You know this about me.
I know. I was gonna say you have never struck me as the type that would be a braggart. So I'm giving you the license. This is old BG helping you out here. Like, so what did you do? Did you get a scholarship, or did you play a part in a play, or were you like in student government or something like that? Or did
something like that
you're proud of?
I guess I'll go with high school. So I was pretty involved in our Future Farmers of America program.
Oh, right.
I actually got to serve on leadership twice. So I was secretary once and president my final semester in high school. So that was a pretty proud moment. We had an organization of about 500 members at the time. So it was the largest it had been.
I was going to say, I bet it was huge. Yeah.
So that was really great. And I would say that's probably one of my prouder moments.
Yeah. You know, I love that. And my daughter, I've said this on a couple podcasts. My daughter is big into FFA, and San Luis Obispo High School has a really great FFA. And, you know, me coming from a tobacco farm in rural North Carolina, FFA was not really, you know, it actually wasn't that big at all. And, growing up in North Carolina, but I've really been impressed with the students that I've interacted with and the leadership opportunities, and just really, really pretty well-developed organization here in California. I'm so impressed with it. What was your, did you compete in anything? Were you like parliamentary procedure or debate, or what did you do?
I did. So I was on a few different judging teams. One was their public speaking contest. So you had to memorize a 5-minute speech and recite it.
Uh-huh.
I did opening and closing, which is the formalities of operating a meeting. I did dairy products judging, which was a fun one.
I bet. Drinking a lot of, eating a lot of cheese and ice cream or what?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Exactly. Sampling it all.
That doesn't sound too bad.
No, it was. I mean, we had to sample milk too, and that was sometimes a little gross, but.
I bet. I was thinking that. I didn't say it. I was like, that might not be too
I'll
good.
Say it. That was not the highlight of that judging team.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I loved that organization. I think it really gave me the set and skills to be a professional in the next phase of life. And there's a lot of fundamentals that I've carried on even through my career today. So very grateful for that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I bet it sets you up pretty well to have confidence going into a learn by doing setting. And you obviously excelled in that. So let's make that segue to here at Cal Poly. Everyone has their own unique story, and obviously Turlock being relatively close. And I'm sure we've had lots of students over the years that come down to Cal Poly. Tell us your story though.
Yeah. So my dad is actually a Cal Poly alumni as well.
I know.
So I found my little Cal Poly sweatshirt from when I was about 3 months old. So I would like to say it's in my blood.
Uh-huh.
It was always pushed from a very young age. So when I got in, the family was very ecstatic. But my journey at Cal Poly was kind of different. I actually started off as an agricultural communications major.
You did.
I studied that for my first 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then went to a lecture / meet and greet, if you want to call it, with Amber Carson. Actually, she was doing a presentation about Carson Butler events. And I just happened to go. It wasn't for a class assignment. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Like,
what
major is she representing? I need to be a part of this. And
that's
so
awesome.
That's when I kind of started that research process, and I found EIM and Dr. Hendricks and Dr. G let me in. And that was the beginning of my next chapter.
That is awesome. Well, shout out to Amber Carson, and we're going to give her a few shout outs here coming up. But yeah, I can imagine that as a, as a young professional, as a college student, if I had heard Amber Carson speak, I think I would have wanted to be in that major as well. She's so amazing. So let's talk about your time at Cal Poly. You were, you know, quite honestly, Gabby, I didn't remember that you transferred in. It's kind of funny because a lot of times when students, whether they transfer in, you know, as transfers, mm-hmm. major transfers, a lot of times they hit the ground running and like try to do as much as they can because they feel like they're behind, right?
For
you, your last couple of years were like you were such a leader that that I just thought you were always in the major, right?
Oh, you're sweet.
But let's talk about that time. We'll go first to the more sentimental. You know, you have a dad who's an alumni, and you know, San Luis Obispo being a pretty special place. Is there a memory that really sticks out where you're like, oh, I'll never forget that? Like that time was the greatest or anything like that?
Absolutely. When I switched as a third year, I kind of saw my third year as my first year all over again. Right. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to do the things I didn't do my freshman year and just give it a shot. And so obviously I couldn't be a WOWie again, but right. I did apply to be a WOW leader. And went through the whole program and got to lead my own little group of WOWies. And it was the most rewarding experience ever. It was so great to just help people acclimate during a time that was really challenging for me and to kind of give back to the future Mustangs. And that's probably the most heartwarming, happy memory I have at Cal Poly.
I love that. That is so great. Wow, it's such a special program. And, you know, even those of us who haven't gone through it because we weren't Cal Poly, I mean, we just take such pride in it because it's just been, it makes such a huge impact. Now, let's talk about professional development. I think it's going to probably be hard for you to choose just one because you did a lot of things while you were here, you know, from, like you just said, being a WOW leader to being involved with the auction and dinner to Western Bonanza to new student and tradition programs to the Cal Poly president's office and office of the president, I should say. And so is there something that you did during your time at Cal Poly that really stands out? You know, you mentioned FFA earlier and how that really boosted you. But we take such pride in learn by doing and that professional development aspect. Is there something that you did where you look back and you're like, wow, that really helped to propel me?
Yeah. And, you know, I hate to pick one because I really do think all of them led me to where I'm at and they all played very different, important roles for me. Yeah. But I think in terms of a Kickstarter for my career was probably putting myself out there, even though I was scared. To go and interview at the All Louis store to work with Amber and Emily, because that really kind of set the trajectory for my years following.
Yeah, I hear you. That's awesome. And you know, they're Amber and Emily are just such great examples of professionals in our industry and just movers and shakers and out there, you know, being mentors. And so I just love that. Let's talk about your internship. Now, what was your official internship? Office of the President? Was that?
It was. So I was an event intern with President Armstrong's office. I got to work with Dana Madison, who's another EIM alumni. Yeah. And she was amazing. I loved my, what is it, three or four months during fall quarter, just getting to do all the things, convocation. We had a graduation ceremony and then lots of smaller events as well throughout that quarter.
Love it. Love it. And shout out to Dana. And, you know, both Amber and Dana have been on the podcast. So that's really awesome. And, you know, Dana and the Office of the President, they run such an amazing first class operation that gives you just amazing experience. So for any of our students out there who hear this, we've had a long tradition of really, really great students going through that Office of the President and being events interns. And so, yeah, shout out to Dana and reach out if you're getting close to that time and you are looking for an internship. So let's talk about your time at Carson Butler Events, which was your first real professional position after graduating. Let's talk about a couple things. Obviously, you endured the pandemic during that time. That was the time that was, a scary time for us all. But I do remember, and I imagine you can talk to this more than I can, but I just remember how positive Amber was in my interactions with her. And I would reach out and I would say, I hope everything's okay. And she, even though it was so hard and even though I know it was hard, she just kept this optimistic outlook.
Absolutely.
That I felt like probably carried over for you and others that were working with her. But let's just talk generally about that experience. What was that like?
Yeah. So, I mean, when I started Cal Poly or when I switched majors, this was my dream job, right? I was so excited. I landed it. I got to continue working with Amber and Emily and their, under their great leadership and mentorship. And three months, into the job, the pandemic hit. We were literally at a destination wedding in New Orleans when the world shut down and managed to catch a flight home the day before. So it was pretty crazy how quickly it all changed. You lived it, but yeah, I mean, I think that was a very challenging time, but we really worked hard to continue being positive and spreading joy for the San Luis Obispo community. So that experience ended up teaching me a lot about endurance, and, really taking things into perspective, getting creative, thinking outside the box, generating, activations like the City Plaza that we would do every month just to simply spread joy. And Amber and Emily were so wonderful and such thought leaders in that space during that time, especially. They always are thought leaders, but, bringing something really unique and special to a community in a time when it was really needed.
Yeah.
I have nothing but high things to say about that experience.
I'm sure. And, even though it was obviously a very difficult period, being able to take something out of it and learn from it and grow from it, I think was something that I saw a lot of event professionals do. And it just gave me even more respect and admiration for those in the events community and those in the experience industry. Let's jump ahead to California Travel Association. What you're doing now is operations coordinator. I will say, and I want to give you a shout out. I've done, I did a stint as a substitute teacher, like you said. I was a substitute teacher for a year and a half, almost 2 years. And so
I know
how difficult that is. And so shout out to Substitute Teacher Nation. Oh,
thank you. Yeah, in between jobs, I really wanted to take a minute to figure out what I wanted my next step to be. And I was like, I'm not going to sit on the couch and do nothing. So what can I do to kind of give back to my community now? Yeah. And I was like, you know what? Why don't I go sub for a little bit? The schools, they're experiencing shortages. It's a great way to interact with, kids, kind of tied back to my WOW experience. Like, I really enjoyed that mentorship opportunity. Okay, maybe this is a great way to do that,
Yeah.
So it was a really fun year. I liked it. But by the end of it, it was time to get back to the tourism travel space. So.
Yeah, for sure. I developed like such a, I already had admiration for teachers, but I think it really enhanced my respect for teachers. And I did a stint for 2 weeks as a special ed teacher.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And after 2 weeks, I what I said was, it was the most rewarding and exhausting 2 weeks of my life. And my admiration and respect for special education teachers just went through the roof, because it's just like, it's so rewarding, but it's also so draining. And because you have to give everything.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, growing up on a tobacco farm, like I thought I knew hard work, right? But being a substitute teacher, that was hard work too.
It's different kind of work, right? And it's different based on the age group that you're with too.
What you get assigned to do, you know, if I just have to hit play on a tape.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a big deal, right? But
anyway,
so let's talk about Cal Travel. And, you know, so the California Travel Association, AKA Cal Travel, is, I'll let you tell us about it. I was getting ready to tell everybody about Cal Travel Association. So you give us the 30 second to 1 minute pitch on what Cal Travel is all about.
Okay. So Cal Travel is the influential, unified advocacy voice for California's travel and tourism industry. And our mission is really to protect and advance industry's interests through advocacy, collaboration, and education. So we do that through a series of events throughout the year, as well as other regular communications and engagements with our members. Our members include destinations, transportation agencies, hotels, attractions, lots of other companies, anyone that really values the travel and tourism space.
Right.
And it's really great. Every day I'm working with different sectors of the industry. I'm constantly planning events for our association, such as Tourism Advocacy Day, which is coming up in May.
Right.
And then our annual summit, which is usually in September every year. So, that's my little elevator pitch.
I love it. And you've obviously done that before, Gabby. And you went right into FFA mode right there too. You were like, I got my skills. Don't think
you try my best.
I knew you had the skills to pay the bills there. That was awesome. So I bet it's also a lot of interaction with lawmakers and that sort of thing. Is there some lobbying elements to it?
There is, but I don't.
Advocacy comes in, or do you?
Correct. Yeah. So we're a small team of about five. And we have a full time lobbyist who's actually working in Sacramento doing all of that work on the organization's behalf. I handle more so operations, so billing, day to day communications, event planning. And then I also help assist the lobbyist if she has scheduling requests, position letter updates, so on and so forth.
Love it. Love it. So you just kind of did this, but,
I'm sorry.
You did. I was going to say like your day to day. So you kind of gave us your day to day. So, give us maybe a little bit more of a complete day to day. You said you had Advocacy Day coming up. So this next coming week, like what will your schedule be like?
Yeah. So right now we're in the process of scheduling approximately 100 different meetings with our state legislators. And these meetings are going to be for our members. So Tourism Advocacy Day is one of our events. It happens every May. We invite our members to go to Sacramento to basically be our voice and help share the message of why travel is so important in the state of California. So these meetings are for them to engage with their legislators, either from their work district or their home districts. Mm-hmm. So I'll be working on scheduling all of those. We have a couple trainings coming up that we'll be preparing materials for and communicating out to membership.
Gotcha.
So that's that bucket.
Got you. Now, a lot of people are familiar with Visit California, right? Which is the official, that's the official DMO for the state of California, right? And so is there interaction, integration with Visit California? How does that work?
Yeah, absolutely. So Visit California, we work very close with, and we kind of differentiate ourselves as simple as Visit California is the marketing arm and California Travel Association is the advocacy arm. Gotcha. So we work together often. We just have different everyday items that we're working on.
Right. Got you. And now Barb Newton, who is on our advisory council and has been for many years, and someone that I just look up to and respect a great deal. Barb has been such an amazing supporter of our program.
Isn't she the best?
She is. She is the best. And so I wanted to give you a chance to say, is she? I was getting ready to say, so you you jumped the gun, and I love it, Gabby, because I was getting ready to say, is she really what she seems like?
She is the most lovely woman. I have nothing but wonderful things to say. Like, she's funny. So great. Yeah. And so is my boss, Trisha, as well. So okay. I report to Trisha first and then Barb. Mm-hmm. She's amazing. I mean, my whole team's amazing. I love each and every one of them.
Love it. That's awesome. So now let's get into the like kind of big picture stuff. Gabby, I know that in with the thought leaders that you've surrounded yourself with in your career, I know you're going to you'll be a great voice here for this one. Let's start first with the challenges. So when you think about the challenges that we face here in California from a travel perspective, what do you see as one or several of the biggest challenges?
Yeah, I'm going to keep it actually really general because I think it is. I think it's just making sure that, you know, the important players know the importance and the value that this industry really brings to everyone involved at a local level, at a state level. Travel and tourism it's really important to our entire ecosystem. And I think that's a big challenge. And also I think a strength for us to continue communicating about.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah. That's, so continuing to tell that story of how much, how it matters. And, it is, that's really great. Now, when you think about opportunities, what opportunities do you see coming up on the horizon for the travel and tourism in the state of California?
I think that there's a lot going on in the space. I think that everyone since the pandemic is really thinking creatively about what the future of travel looks like, mm-hmm. How to get different groups here, also kind of just streamlining current processes and opportunities. So I think there's a lot ahead, especially there's a lot of talk with AI going around, inclusivity. There's a lot on the horizon. So we're excited.
Right. I love it. That's so great. So let's talk a little bit outside the space and more like your setup. So you're still listed, and I don't know if this is accurate or not. I probably should have asked you beforehand, but what's your you're listed as living in Turlock. Do you work remote? What's your work setup like?
Yeah. So my entire team is actually remote. We're all based throughout the state. So I am in Turlock. Barb and Trisha are based in the Bay Area. Rena, who does our partnerships, is down in San Diego. And Amelia is in Sacramento. So we're fully remote, which is cool.
I love it. So what type of resources or support does Barb give you along those lines? Like, so what's it set up? Like, give our listeners like a picture of how you've got it set up. Are you just Zoom meeting after Zoom meeting after Zoom meeting every day? Or how do you have it set up in order to maximize like your work-life balance? And what do you like to do to have fun in your time off?
Yeah, absolutely. So, our work schedule is really flexible, actually. So, I prefer to start earlier in the mornings and wrap up a little earlier in the afternoons. So I kind of sign on around 7:30 and sign off around 4:30, whereas other members of my team like to start a little later. So, that's very flexible. We have regular staff meetings via Zoom. But anytime anyone has questions or we just want to talk to each other, we hop on phone calls, we text, email very often. So it's pretty standard, like as if I was in an office setting. We're just far apart.
Right. Yeah. You know, that's one thing that, Gabby, that I feel like, and I've talked about this before, but I feel like the pandemic opened our eyes. Not to say that people weren't working remotely before the pandemic, they were, but I feel like it opened our eyes that to the fact that people can be just as productive and maybe even more productive from home and working remotely, right? When you cut out commuting and you cut out those sorts of things, you can add to people's happiness. You can add to their flexibility. You can add to their quality of life. So in that time that you've taken back for yourself, what do you like to do? What do you like to do for fun?
Yeah. Well, since moving back to Turlock, I've become a huge yogi. So I go to yoga about 5 times a week. It's my happy place and I absolutely love it.
Nice.
And then I'll usually follow up with an afternoon walk, maybe with a friend or maybe by myself. Nice. So honestly, just taking time to relax and kind of block out the day and reset for the next.
Nice. You know, I have a lot of yogi friends and I recently got into it for like 40 days straight and I never felt better. And now I'm on like a month where I haven't done it. And I'm like, what is wrong with you? Like,
you should go back. Give it another shot.
I got to get back into it. Because I really, really loved it. But you know how it is. It's like, the habit formation is a really key element, I feel like, of that.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about like advice that you would give to students who are interested in the travel and tourism space. Obviously, you know, you're in the advocacy space, right? With travel and tourism, but, you interact with a lot of players in travel and tourism, obviously. So what advice would you give to our students who are interested in travel and tourism?
I would say, you know, take every opportunity you have. That's one thing that I really do pride myself on from my time at Cal Poly was I never let an opportunity pass 99.9% of the time.
Yeah.
And I really tried to integrate even my agricultural communications background and taking up on opportunities from, you know, my old department along with my new.
Right.
And, you know, another thing, too, is we recently had a mentoring session at our last board meeting where a Cal Poly alumni came fresh out of school and he was so wonderful, but he was so nervous at first to like interact with everyone. And so I was like, don't be nervous, you know? And I kind of introduced him to a couple people. By the end of the board meeting, he had 2 potential interviews for a job met and made like 10 contacts with industry people. Yep. So I think also, you know, finding a buddy, if you know someone that's already in the space you want to be in, you know, reach out and get your feelers out there because it never hurts and you never know what comes of it.
I love it. I love it. That is so awesome. All right, let's do a little time travel. We don't have to travel back too far, Gabby, but we're gonna travel back to 2018 and your junior year. What advice would you give to your junior year self?
So my junior year was a big year because that's when I went through all of my changes, swapping and everything.
Uh-huh.
I would say just to like believe in yourself, honestly, take the chance. Don't feel, you know, intimidated by something new and something really different because it could be something really great that changes the whole trajectory of your life. I know that's really big, but
it's big and it's great. It's big and great because I think that's so, you know, that's actually one of the things I say whenever I take my whenever I drop my kids off at school, I'm like, be confident. That's what I say as they're getting out of the car, you know, be confident because it is hard when you have all those voices in your head and you have all those people looking at you. And what I say to them is like every kid out there, whether they're like super gregarious and loud and you think they're funny or you think they're whatever, they all have the same insecurities as all of us do. Right. And they're just compensating for it in their own way. And so be confident in yourself, be confident in your voice, right? And don't be afraid to speak up. And I love that. And I imagine FFA helped you a lot with that, with the debate. Cause I remember my debating, speech. It wasn't debate. Public speaking. Yeah. It's amazing how much just forcing yourself to do something like that helped you.
Yeah. And I think too, like the other side of it is even if you fail, it's okay because you tried, right? Like had I not switched majors, the agricultural communications department was amazing. And I would have found a way to get involved with EIM in another capacity or, you know, like I'm just a firm believer you're always where you're supposed to be. Yeah. So just go for it.
Go for it and embrace that. And I love that. And Gabby, I can't tell you how much it how great it is to see you. And I'm excited. I heard you're coming to the auction dinner this year. Is that right?
I am. I'm so excited to come support Jen, another amazing mentor and friend in life, and yes, to see the students shine.
Yes, absolutely. And we just want to thank you so much for all that you've done for the department over the years, all that you've done and continuing to do for the industry, and just being a shining star. And, you know, I know it's tough for you for your Greenwood stretch of meetings to come to an end. Gabby had a meeting with Dr. Rue with a Cal Travel diversity, equity, and inclusion meeting before this. So she's had two straight hours of Greenwoods. So,
I love it. It's bringing me back to my Cal Poly days. I feel like I'm in back-to-back lectures. That's
great.
There
you go. I love it. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking the time today. So great to see you.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It was great seeing you as well.
See ya.
Bye.